Praise the Lord. Well, I have to say that truly some things never get old. And worshiping the Lord never gets old. I've never once found myself saying, oh, this gets old. I was remembering this morning, even when I was out doing the walk, I was thinking about years ago when each Sunday morning I would rise up early for prayer and then to haul the equipment into the vehicle, to haul the equipment down to the auditorium, to set up the equipment and to march around in the auditorium. And it never got old. It never did. God is always faithful and He's always wonderful when we're looking to Him, and it just never got old. There are things in our lives that we can catch ourselves saying, this just gets old, you know. When we say it to each other sometimes, it gets old having you do this, or it gets old having you say this, or it gets old having to put up with this. But there are also those things that we can say, this never gets old. Like Bob would say, it never gets old hearing a dragster rev up at the racetrack or something like that. Or you know, the things that we like, the things that we're called to, don't get old. And Jesus doesn't get old. He just gets better and better and better. Time goes by, things change, but He never gets old. He's always the same. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are indeed, in fact, without doubt, new every morning. It's always new. The enemy tries to convince us that it gets old. The enemy will try to convince us that our prayers do little good. The enemy will remind us of the points of our prayers that we have not yet seen manifest. Have you ever had the enemy remind you of something good that the Lord has done or said to you? No, you won't have that happen. The enemy will never remind you, but you know what God said. But you know you'll be okay. But you know this will work out. You never hear the enemy say that. Never, 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 never. But you will hear God say that. And when we know the voice of God, we will hear the voice of God, and we will allow the voice of God to override the voice of the enemy. The one who is stealing from us. The one who, you know, God will never remind you, oh, remember what they did to you. Remember what you perceive that they did to you. God will never remind you of that. But the enemy will bring it up. Even after you and the Lord have settled it, the enemy will say, oh, no, you can't let it go that easy. It can't be that easy. You know, the old somebody done somebody wrong song, those kind of tunes will stick in our heads. But the ones that should stick, the ones that we should push to the head, are the ones that God is good. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. It never gets old, worshiping the Lord. For me, I'm fortunate that no matter what song comes to my head, I can preach it. Because no matter what song will come, I can convert it. I've been doing it for 27, 28 years. I've been converting songs. It doesn't matter. The first time it happened, I had to think about it. But after that, it doesn't matter what song comes up. I'll convert it into something that person was searching for the Lord in. That's a real treasure, so that I don't have to sit around and be condemned if something comes up in my head, you know. Man, I can remember to pray for Mick Jagger whenever I think of, I can't get no satisfaction. I got nothing but satisfaction. If I can't get satisfaction, that's nobody's fault but my own, because my satisfaction lies within me as a well bubbling up. The living Word of God. In John chapter 4, Jesus comes to the well, and He's speaking, and He asks this woman if she will give Him some water. And she says, what are you doing talking to me? Because she's still bound up in the religious laws of the time. She's still bound up in the way that things are around her. She's still bound up by, hey, they don't talk to us. She's still bound up by the talk on the streets in their town of, you know, the Jews don't like us and they won't talk to us and we're not going to talk to them either. Still bound up in that, but not so bound up in it that she will not question what in the world he thinks he's doing. Why do you ask me? Please give me a drink. And Jesus said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. If you only knew the gift that God has for you. Folks, the enemy knows the gifts that God has for you. And that's why he tries to keep you from knowing the gifts that God has for you. But Jesus said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, and if you knew who you are speaking to, when we pray, we are speaking to the living God. The living God who has told us that we should pray. The living God that has told us that if we pray and if we will believe, then we will receive from God. And when we know Him, that's all we want, is to receive from God. Last week, well, this week, I guess, we had a nice day early, didn't we? Anyway, I was going over to the jail. And so the motorcycle was taking me there. And as I've said before, the motorcycle is probably the finest prayer chapel in the whole wide world. God enjoys me enjoying it, and He talks to me. He just really does talk to me. And we were going along, and we were talking, and I was just declaring how good He was and how, I mean, He's just amazing. He's way ahead of me. He's so far ahead of me that, you know, I just said, God, you're just too good. And He said, well, you never ask me for anything. And I said, God, I don't seem to have to because you're out ahead of me. What would I be asking for? I'm so thankful a lot for all that you're doing that I don't really think about that. He said, but you really don't ask me much. And it was after we had that conversation that He led me to John chapter 4, and I'm reading, and it says, if you knew the gift God had for you and who you were speaking to, and I said, oh God, are you telling me that I don't ask because I don't know you? I mean, this is just crazy. But now back up the tape again to where we're riding along. And I'm saying to him, you know, he's saying, you don't ask me for much. And I said, man, it seems like I do, but I don't really lack anything. And your word says you'll never, you know, talking to God, of trying to use His word to out-reason Him, you know, because I know that your word says that before I ask, I'll receive. And Lord, I'm lacking no good thing just because of the Lord in your word. And He said, yes. He said, I like that. I like that you trust me. I like that you do. And since we were that far into it, I said, well, you know, Lord, I did ask. I asked when my dad was sick. And He said, yeah. That was all I said. Okay. Perfect understanding. He acknowledged that I did ask. Didn't tell me why it didn't go the way that I wanted it to. Just that. I said, and Lord, there was, when Josiah was born, even before he was born, I was asking. He said, yeah. That was the end of the conversation. But with His yeah came just a, oh yeah, that just makes it make even more sense. I don't know how it makes more sense. That's just the Spirit of God bearing witness with the Spirit of God and saying, hey, that's good enough for you. He says that, you know, He heard me. Glory to God. But oftentimes in circumstances like that, we will ask, and if it doesn't go the way we want to, we back up instead of pressing forward. Because it doesn't go the way we want it to, we quit. I was young in the Lord when the first one happened. I was young in the Lord when some pretty big things happened. And I had a good opportunity to just throw in the towel. Now, I don't say this to say, wow, I was wonderful. That isn't the point. The point is that I had the opportunity. I think Jesse Duplantis says, I've had a lot of opportunities to fail. I just don't take them. But we will continually have opportunities to throw in the towel. To have things come up and say, this is just getting old. Marriages end because somebody decides it's getting old. We stop the process that God is doing to accomplish abundantly above what we could hope or imagine because, well, it just gets old pressing on. We miss what God has for us in worship when it just gets old worshiping. Worshiping so long, or worshiping wrong, or worshiping this, or worshiping that, rather than saying, you know, this just never gets old. It just doesn't get old, worshiping God. You see, He's the focus. He's where we're going. He's what we're wanting. He's who we're seeking. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift God has for you, and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you the living water. Because he who drinks the water that I give him will never thirst again. Well, she didn't understand that, but she understood it enough to say, give me some. The little understanding she had was it wouldn't be bad to not have to come to the well. I'd never have to dip in the well again. I'd never have to haul water again. That was good enough for her to say, give me some. And even in her little understanding, when she said to the Lord, give me some of this, the Lord's response was, anyone that drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them to give them eternal life. And she says, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water. Well, Jesus appreciated her willingness to respond to him, but there was still just a little bit more that she needed to know. He said, okay, go get your husband. We'll give you and your husband some of this water. And she said, oops, I don't have a husband. His truth caused her to tell the truth. And he said, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, the one you're living with now. Yes, your life is a wreck. But that's okay. I can handle it. But back up to where he told her what that water would become. That living, bubbling river flowing up. Do you know that bubbling river in your life? Do you realize that that is in fact happening in your life? Are you aware of the encouragement that comes to you from within when the enemy is trying to press you down? Are you aware that that is what Jesus promised? It would become a river. Now, one year when we were in Minnesota, we were able to straddle the Mississippi River. In fact, there's a possibility that maybe if a person could have stuck their fist in that spot, they could have stopped the river. Because that's where it starts. In Itasca, lay at the Itasca State Park, there's a place where the river starts. Now, this word says that that water will become a fresh, bubbling spring, giving eternal life. It will become. You know, somebody who doesn't know or who couldn't read the signs, someone who doesn't read English, who comes to visit, and they're standing there, and someone stands there and says, do you know that this is a river? Would say, what? This is where it all starts. That down in Illinois, where there's a big old bridge that goes across the river, this is where it starts. And a foreigner's response might be, you crazy. This can't be. We see, that's what happens in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, it'll become a bubbling spring overflowing in your life. But if we don't believe it, it will just be there. Isn't it amazing that we have the power and the authority to turn a bubbling spring of life into a dead sea in our lives? We can absolutely quench the Spirit of God. We have to be able to quench it because the Bible says don't quench the Spirit of God. It changes things when you know something, doesn't it? Sometimes we think we know something and we find out we didn't know so much. So we have those opportunities to say, if I had known then what I know now. Now, if we're wise, we'll only use those to say, if I'd known then what I know now, I wouldn't have done what I did. And we would allow it to create something good further on. Because now we know what we didn't know. That woman found out something she didn't know when she went there to get water. She didn't go there to get water knowing that she was going to meet the Messiah. She didn't know that her whole life was going to be transformed, and not only her life transformed, but many other people's lives transformed, because she was willing to ask, give me some. Give me some of that water. And her openness to getting a little bit of that water allowed her to receive enough of that water that it did become a bubbling, life-giving stream. When she ran back to her village and said, come and see the person that told me everything about my life, it was bubbling over. And many believed, and later on, after he talked to them, he said, well, now we don't believe anymore because you told us. We believe because we heard what he said. But there was life. It's life, it's life, it's life. There's always life in the Word of God. That's why we need to go to the Word of God. That's why we need to allow it to minister to us. Did you know that the Lord delights in those who trust in His unfailing love? You want to delight the Lord? Just trust in His unfailing love. That's not so hard to do. To just sit down and say, Lord, I trust in your unfailing love. Ah, Lord, forgive me for the times that I obviously thought that I was, but I really wasn't. Because, Lord, when we know something, when we know the one that we're speaking to, when we know the gift he has for us, when we know him, then we ask him. And we believe this is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know you hear us. We know when we pray that our prayers go into the room with somebody else. No wonder we should always pray. Even if it's to say, Lord, I don't know what to pray, but you do. And I just lift this person up to you. I just lift this situation up to you. I just lift this nation up to you. I just lift this world up to you. And say, God can do something. God can do something. When the world is wondering about the economy and all this and that, we know God can do something. What would happen if every person in the world just said, Lord, you take care of it? How suddenly would he take care of things? If everyone. People say, well, you know, what's the big deal about a national day of prayer? A national day of prayer is a big deal. And people might say, well, yeah, but most people that pray don't even know what they're praying about. It isn't so important that they know what they're praying about, it's that they know who they're praying to. And even if they don't know Him real well, if they just cry out to God. How well did you know Him when you cried out to Him for salvation? Not at all. You only knew about Him. That's what Job said, wasn't it? Job said, "Ooh, I heard about you before. But now I know you." What a difference it made in Job's life when he knew God. He had been blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and so blessed that the enemy was around watching him, and God was so proud of him that he said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And yet when things fell apart, Job believed the lie too. God did it, he just didn't know why God did it. Why would he believe for a minute that God did it? Because he didn't know any better. Because he didn't know well enough to know that the devil did it. And so he was inclined to believe that God did good and God did bad. And much of the church agrees, yes, God does good and God does bad. Just look at Job, what God did to Job. But the Bible's very clear that God didn't do it to Job, the devil did it to Job. Oh, but God let him. But what if Job would have said, "My God wouldn't do this"? Because after God got done explaining things to him and Job said, "Whoops, now I know you," what happened? Everything was restored double. But why does God let those things go on? Because we live in a fallen world. It's not so much why does He let them go on, why do we let them go on? Why would we let the enemy be active in our lives? And obviously that's what we do, because if it was God, we'd be crazy to pray, wouldn't we? If it's God's will that I be sick, why should I pray for healing? Wouldn't I then be praying against the will of God? But if we know God, we say, "Wait a minute, God, this is not your will. Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. By His stripes I was healed." That should be the will of God. So if I don't believe that bad things are the will of God, then I can pray that they will change. But if I think that God did them, then I'll be like Job and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him." That's noble. It is, but think about that. Why would He want to slay you? He slayed His Son. So He wouldn't have to slay you. If He wanted to slay you, Jesus would have stayed home. They'd have played ping pong with us for a while, and then when they got tired of everything, they'd have just let the world go, right? Wouldn't that make sense? We have to keep remembering that God said, "I'll be a father to you." Then we have to have an idea, what's a father like? One of my prisoners who was a gang leader, I just asked him, because he was wondering about this, I said, "Which one of the people in your gang did you beat and make them love you?" He looked at me and said, "None of them." They maybe were afraid of you, but they didn't love you, did they? And you wouldn't dare turn your back on them, would you? Uh-uh. I mean, he understood what I was talking about with how God would be. That little bit helped him to understand God's not about to beat people into submission. And that's why Jesus said, if you knew what God really had for you, and if you knew who you were speaking to, you'd just ask me. Ask Him to heal. Ask Him to deliver. Ask Him to save nations. Ask Him to restore nations. Ask Him to stop nuclear emergencies. Ask Him. Christians, we need to act like we know what God has for us. And then we need to act on what we know about what God has for us. Because anyone who drinks this water, this earthly water, will soon become thirsty, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. That fresh, bubbling spring that turns sickness into health, which is turning death into life. The most minor sickness, the tiniest attack, can become death if we just let it have its way. The tiniest little infection has killed lots and lots of people. The tiniest little bit of doubt, if we allow it to spring up, can steal everything from us. But the tiniest little seed of faith can grow up into life. And that life is in you in the Word of God. In the Spirit of the living God. That is in you. And that's what we should listen to. That's what we should listen for. That's what we should stir up. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, said, stir it up. Stir it up. Don't be discouraged. Don't feel like it's falling apart. Just stir that thing up. Just stir that up, because it becomes a bubbling, life-giving river. That old little chorus about it's bubbling, it's bubbling. I mean, it's bubbling, it's stirring, it's ready to come up. It's there before the trouble comes. It's there to speak to the trouble. It's there to speak to the mountain with the, get the mountain down. It's there to cast down every imagination. It's there to override there. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Jesus said to the guys in the boat, fear not, it's I. Paul on a ship coming apart said, don't be afraid, I believe God. Good for you. Paul said, no, seriously, I believe God. Just don't get in that safety boat. Don't get in that lifeboat. No, no, no. Just cut those loose. I believe God. Oh yeah, the ship's going to come apart, but none of us are going to die. Yeah, I believe God. God spoke to me. Wow, he must have had confidence, because they did it. Are we willing, are we confident enough in that Word of God to let go of what we hold on to so tightly when the Spirit of God says, just let it go. You'll be okay. He never said it'd be easy. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. Because there's always something trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. But Jesus says to us what he said to this woman, you know, if you know, are you willing to know what God has for you? Are you willing to believe that above all things? So that nothing else makes any difference. And that your faith is not based on outcomes. It's based on the King of Kings. And to allow that is in you to override that comes against you. And to allow that life to come up and refresh you and renew you. Allow the bubbling to become to a flowing, because it says that it will be one that comes out and it always gives life. Always gives life. Giving eternal life. That's why he's our blessed hope. Hey, things don't always go our way. God doesn't get off the throne, and God doesn't keep working for us to accomplish abundantly above and beyond what we could hope or imagine. And if God's response is, yeah, that's good enough. It really is. It really is. Now, if your response to that idea is, well, I know, but, then that means that we don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I know God can do something, but. Rachel and I have come up with a new thing, and that is buffering. You know how you hate it on a computer when you start watching something and then it stops and it interrupts and then it buffers. Then it stops and it interrupts and then it buffers. And I determined a long time ago that if something wants to buffer, I'm going to pause it, give it a chance to load all the way up. If it don't work the second time, that's fine. But I thought, Rachel and I were talking, I said, wouldn't it be good if when things are starting to buffer, if we would just pause it and then let our minds fill up with something that's going to keep working before we spoke, before we acted. There's a lot of places in our lives where it'd be good if they buffered. If they just went on pause. It'd really be nice if we could back up. But we can't do that. Just can't get it to back up. But we can get it to be clear, and we can have restoration if we know the gift that God has for us. If we're confident that God gives good gifts to men, if we're confident that He truly does and can provide love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, if we just will stop and allow that life-giving word, that promise, and if we will never, 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 never allow ourselves to think it's just getting old waiting on the Lord, or it's just getting old worshiping the Lord, or it's getting old praising the Lord, and you know. But rather it needs to be, man, this just never gets old. It never gets old to get up and to sit in the Lord's presence. It never gets old. I mean, I'm even learning to enjoy my wandering mind, you know. I'm learning to just take every victory I get when my mind wanders. I'm learning to let the Lord just bring me back to where I got to there. I'm learning to pray my way through the wandering places. Some of my prayers are, wow, that was stupid in Jesus' name, you know. Whoa, man! But, you know, I mean, that way it never gets old. It just doesn't get old. Don't let it get old. Don't let it get away from you. I know. It'll happen eventually here. Just be quiet. It's telling me I have places I got to go. I'm going to jail today. But it'll wait. But it's always good to remind me. I thank the Lord. The Lord reminded me before it reminded me. But do you understand that when we know, and when we forget what we know, all we got to do is stir it up and get back to it. Wait a minute, I know better. Don't we? We know better. We say to our children, you know better. We say to ourselves, I know better. We say about other people, they should know better. I mean, when I'm at the school and I hear all the stuff at the school and I will think they should know better, and then I will say to the Lord, but I was dumber than them, wasn't I, Lord? Yes, they should. But they don't. We should, but sometimes we don't. But if we knew the gift God has for us, if we're willing to pause and say, wait a minute, I know the gift God has for me. And I know who I can talk to, and when I talk to Him, I know who I'm talking to. I don't just know about God. When I think about what I know about God, that's really little. Because He's too big, too amazing, too wonderful. I mean, He just is. And when I think of how I know Him, I just think how fortunate I am to know Him. How very fortunate. And yeah, I only know in part. And I only understand in part, but oh, the part that I know is so good. He is so, and that's how you feel too. It is how you feel. When you take the opportunity to just allow yourself that luxury of just going, oh, it is so fortunate to know God. I am so blessed to know God. It never gets old. The problem is that we sometimes get distant. He never gets distant. We might sometimes desert Him, but He never deserts us. We might forget about what He can do, but He never forgets about us. And that Spirit within us never stops. We quench it and it's still trying to pressure its way through. We argue against it and the truth still tries to come up. And we just need to set it in our hearts that, wait a minute, I know the truth and the truth will make me free. Because if I abide in Him, if I abide in Him and His Word abides in me, then I will know the truth and the truth will make me free. And I want to be a truth seeker. I'm not giving up. I won't give up. You can't make me give up. Because I know the gift God has for me. And I know the one that I'm speaking to. And I'll be like that woman who didn't know anything except they say, give me some of that. Give me some of that. And that little bit that she was willing to take turned into something far bigger than she ever imagined. Far bigger. And prayerfully, she never forgot that day. Prayerfully, she never forgot what God gave her on that day. Prayerfully, she just continued to rejoice and to be excited about the little she knew, looking forward to the more she could know. Because folks, the more that we know God, the more we will have abundantly above and beyond what we could hope or imagine. We don't need anything, thing-wise. We don't need anything compared to how much we need God. That's all we need is Him. Because He said that if you seek first Me and My kingdom, all this other stuff, it'll be added to you, but what does it matter? What does it matter compared to a moment with Him? What thing have you ever received that compared to the peace of God that passes understanding? What thing that you own lasts like the presence of God? What thing can you take and say, oh, this really comforts me? And yet the enemy tricks us into saying, now if I had that, then I'd be happy. I'll be happy when I get this. I'll be happy when this happens. And then how quickly we forget that we got that and we got that and that happened. But the Lord, He's always the same. We just step into Him and He makes things, all things beautiful in His time. When you know, it just doesn't get any better than knowing, except for knowing more. Knowing God more. A friend of ours from Oregon that we used to run around with, he always had this saying, he'd always say, don't you know? Don't you know? Today, I understood exactly what that meant, but I just took a change to do you know, but I thought about that when he said that, you know, and because that was just his response to everything, don't you know? And for me, I will remember that of, don't you know God can handle it? Don't you know God's bigger? Don't you know God's bigger? Don't you know? Father, in Jesus' name, we know in part, we see in part, we're looking forward to a whole lot more because you have such a wonderful heart for us. And so we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now, if we'll all be patient, Isaiah had something that he was going to say.